You're watching Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. Very recently, I had a conversation with the folks from MaTrade talking about export and how SMEs and large corporates need to be part of the exporting journey. Some of the companies are already in the exporting business, but have faced certain hurdles. Let's face it, it's a pandemic. Some of them are rethinking about their exporting strategy. Some of them are rethinking about global markets. But whatever it is a conversation that needs to be had. One such person that came across our attention is, of course, Arvind Menon. He is the Managing Director of VG Offshore Containers International. Arvind, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. We had a lovely time talking about the event at MaTrade. But right now, I just want to have you speaking about the whole issue at length. But before we do all that, let's talk a little bit about your company, VG Offshore Containers International. What is it all about?
Hi, thank you for inviting us, Ibrahim. VG Offshore Containers International started somewhere in 1994 as a trading company, all right? It was started by my dad, and then eventually in 97, we went into manufacturing. What we manufacture is offshore containers. Offshore container means containers which is being used for oil and gas industry predominantly. These are special containers which you commonly do not see on the road. People always gets mixed up with the shipping containers, right? The freight containers. These are different containers which has a different standard to it. And we follow an international standard called the DNB 271 to manufacture these containers. And we are the largest in Malaysia at the moment. And we are also one of the biggest in Asia, Southeast Asia, and exporting to almost 40 over countries at the moment.
How has business been like for you guys, pre-pandemic, during pandemic? How do you think things will shape up after the pandemic?
We had the oil price down somewhere in the 2014-15, right? So it took a while for it to come back to normal, where the 120 was the previous price per barrel, right? US dollars, 120 per barrel. But eventually, they said the new 60 is the 120, yeah? So 2018, 2019, things were going on the right track. Everything, we were having a lot of new projects coming in. 2020, we started the year with a big, huge order. In fact, for the first 2 months, we clocked business for almost for 6 months. That was the book order looked like. So we thought, wow, this year is going to be an amazing year. And then slowly things started creeping into Malaysia on the, those days was known as the Wuhan virus, right? So COVID-19 came in and we were affected greatly because not due to orders, but mainly because we were not able to deliver the orders on time. Mm. So this was starting somewhere in March. So that put a lot of bottleneck in our problem as well, because there was a chain reaction to it. We were not able to deliver the orders, and then new orders start coming in, and then everything, you know, started to have a big, huge chain reaction to our whole production.
So, okay, so you're in the front line of doing business internationally. How does this, how did you navigate through this? You were, did new orders slow down as well? Is it picking up now? How do you resolve the backlog orders? How do you resolve all these kinds of supply issues?
Thankfully, we were under the essential services, under the manufacturing at that time. So we were only closed for about 2 weeks. So what we did was we brainstormed within our team on how we could start this the moment we are allowed to open. So fortunately, on the 2nd of April, we have received an approval from MITI, Ministry of Trade Industry, to operate under the essential services with a certain SOP need to be adhered to. So we were only allowed to have approximately 50% of our staff working at any time, with a lot of social distancing and a lot of SOPs to be adhered to. So what we did was we broke the team into two. Majority of the team was still working from the office, but these are the hands-on team which need to be, you know, producing the goods. So we had to run on a two-shift sort of concept, and that somehow we managed to survive through that period. And eventually we stopped doing that come July because we were able to, you know, stabilize everything.
Okay, let's talk a little bit more about the need for you to think internationally. What came across as quite an interesting story to be told is you gained access to markets that you never thought was part of your radar. Let's talk through it and try to understand how businesses like Malaysian businesses like yours can actually grow internationally.
Okay. GMV271 is a standard for oil and gas, for portable units, like offshore containers and all that. There are three standards to this, 271, 272, and 273. This is a standard which has been created by the Norwegian Det Norskveritas. All right. So we embarked in this very early. In fact, we were the first one in Malaysia. Before, prior to this, we were working with a standard called the British Standard 7072 for offshore. So in Malaysia, there were a lot of companies were not very keen on using this standard because of price factors and all that.
This was even pre-post
and even now, you know, people still talk about standards which has been obsolete here in Malaysia. But in overseas market, they are very, very keen on working with standards. And there are a lot of competitors of us who are in this business as well. So what we provide to our client is a total solution. If a client comes and says, okay, I need a 11-footer container to carry this item, but it has to have this, 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 with an aircon, with a lot of customization. A lot of companies do not want to do this because this is not a batch production. It's a very single unit. You need a lot of time and resources to do so. So we provide this such services, a value add to our client. And when our client get to know we can provide such customized unit, they were very happy with what we can offer. And from there, you know, our product started to, you know, enter into a lot of different markets like Azerbaijan, Kazakhstan, and most recently Nigeria, which was the market that we thought we will never penetrate due to the closer reach of Middle East, where there's a biggest one of the bigger competitors of us is very nearby to them, you know. So this opportunity was made possible during the Offshore Technology Conference in Houston in 2019, where they started to come in and provide. They said they wanted to work with us, but it slowly died off. But somehow in late 2020, they sent in an inquiry and we provided the quotation and we sold about 3 units. So currently we are working with them as an appointed agent. They are our sole distributor there in Nigeria, and more and more inquiries are coming in from there.
Let's talk about how you engage these kind of clients, because anything from Nigeria, for instance, I mean, we joke about it all the time, but, you know, customer validation is key, right?
Right.
And it's not just, I'm not singling out one country, any market, any
market,
you know, whatever. I mean, that's not the issue here is how do you validate customer reality? That's all there is to it. How did you go about it?
Okay, basically, if it's Malaysia, it's quite easy because we can do the SSM check and sort of, right? But if it's somewhere from overseas, even Malaysian customers, if we receive an email from a Gmail or a Yahoo Mail, first thing, if you're a business user, you should not be using Gmail and Yahoo Mail, you know? So that sort of puts me off, you see? So we'll do some sort of verification and say, okay, what are you planning to do with this unit, and I'll get some understanding. So when it came to Nigeria, this is a totally different ball game because the email came in from UK, and the delivery is to Nigeria, and the money and the invoice and the purchase order also came from Nigeria. So it's like, okay, this is very confusing. What is happening here? You know. And we have a very strict terms of in terms of payments and all that. So when the payment came in and all those sort of things, we're like, okay. But prior to that, what we did also, we contacted our colleagues in Matrade to see if they were able to do some sort of verification. And they came back and said, yeah, this seems to be a legitimate company. And the project that they have is very legitimate. In fact, one of the biggest FPSO is being built in Nigeria at the moment. So that is for the product is for that floating platform, yeah, FPSO's floating platform. Okay. So that gave us some assurance. We got more assurance as soon as we saw the money in within a day. It was like, okay. So there are a lot of...
That is the one that matters the most, I suppose. So.
Right. Because the payment terms are very straightforward for us. For any new client, it's 50% upon PO, purchase order, and 50% prior to delivery. Because we are worried that the moment the goods are out, we will never see the side of the good anymore. So we were very clear about it, and the client was very clear about it. And they worked with a reputable company, with Total Nigeria, which is one of the biggest oil producer there. So that gave us a lot of assurance. And then when they came to us and said, okay, we have done this number of businesses, can we be your local agent? Because the market in Nigeria is a bit difficult to penetrate in a lot of ways because of local content, local authority and things like that. Yeah. And being local for them, it's much easier. So that's how we got to do that.
The item that struck me the most is that you actually did some outreach with MaTrade, trying to validate some customers. There's a lot of work that you do with not just MaTrade, of course, with MITI, but all the other government agencies. I think a lot of Malaysian companies, and I can be blunt here, they have quite a very friction-full experience when dealing with government organizations. For better or worse, it's never a straightforward path. It can range from bureaucracy to time delays to many other stuff that is unpleasant to mention on air. But generally speaking, when we say, you know, for your company, when you guys work with the government, how has the experience been? What kind of experiences that you want to share with us, particularly the pleasant ones and the unpleasant ones? And does it traverse across ministries? Let's try to understand how the business relationship works with government, at least when it comes to your business.
Okay. We work with government agency on a daily basis, starting with customs, because we are an exporter. We also import items, and we are a licensed manufacturing warehouse. So as long as your paperwork are all in order, I don't see an issue. And in fact, even at today's date, when majority of the customs officers are working from home, we are getting responses on time without any delays. And we are getting all the papers approved via system. And then they put it at their office. We'll go and collect it on a certain days. All right. That is customs. In terms of other agencies like MaTrade, MITI, and SME Corp, these are all the government agencies which we work with very closely. Because being an exporter, there are a lot of requirements that we need to ensure that our client gets the final goods here. For example, if you look at MITI, we need to issue certificate of origin. And it's all done online, and everything is done over the air at the moment, with the current new norm. If you look at the market's outreach in terms of MaTrade per se, right? Why I talk about MaTrade is because we have been with MaTrade since 2009, perhaps maybe. Yeah. So ever since then, we have been involved in their exhibitions locally and internationally as well. And whenever we go with a contingent, we get a better reach and where there are local trade commissioners. For example, if you are in Dubai or even in US, the trade commissioners will do a group of companies that we meet with, you see, because sometimes you do not have clients available there. But this sort of happens when MaTrade brings in people for us to meet, and then from there we can see how we can work together. In terms of red tape, I have not seen any. There are lots of trainings, market search, research is being done. They provide a lot of conferences over the air at the moment, online at the moment. And previously, there were a lot of talks, like what we had the National Day, the recent Export Day. We used to do it live those days. And we get to travel together with the contingent of Malaysia with different companies. I previously traveled with Helmi's group from IX Telecom to Latin America, for which Chile, Mexico, Chile, Mexico, and Peru, you see. So that was a personal invitation from TOPPA during those days, because I had a talk on TPPA during a conference, and then they said, you should join us in the contingent, because we can do more businesses, you know, with these countries. It was a totally different experience altogether. So I don't see an issue in dealing with such agency, because they are very, very open-minded, and they want us to come and see them at all the time.
All right. We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll talk more with our man of VG Offshore.
Party of the year.
Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me on the line Arvind Menon, the MD or the Managing Director of VG Offshore. Arvind, let's talk a little bit more about the market conditions that is happening, not just in this country, but around the world. The China GDP was just announced, and I don't know whether you keep tabs on these things, but you know, economic slowdown is happening. The path to recovery is quite slow in China. A lot of economists expected China to rebound quite sharply. It did not. Perhaps the same item can be said about Malaysia because of the MCO 3.0 and the further enhanced MCO that's going to happen, that is happening, actually.
Happening right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, we all live in the same economy. We all work in the same economy. It's not going to be easy for any of us to move ahead. But honestly, what do you think of the prospects that lie not just for Malaysia, but perhaps the world when it comes down to global recovery? How do you think things will shape up, and how do you think this will impact your business?
At the moment, if you look at from my perspective, from my business point of view, we are still doing good, in fact, because we are involved in not only in oil and gas at the moment, we have diverse our business in many different areas, onshore, e-houses, solar farm. We are also in tourism, whereby we build glamour campings and things like that. Yeah. So, a lot of diversification has happened over the years. And what the major problem that we are facing right now is not getting the orders. That is happening, but it's happening at a very slower rate because clients are thinking, okay, if I place my order today, VG Offshore is closed for 2 weeks. You know, might as well once they open, I'll issue the PO. You see, they want to drag on to that sort of thing. So a lot of orders are in the pipeline, but they just want to see when is the EMCO going to be lifted in Selangor, for example. Another issue that we are facing lately is, for example, material. Prices of material has gone up to almost 40%, raw material I'm talking about. So, for example, in China, previously, a material which costs us about $800 to $900 per ton is now $1,300 to $1,400 per ton because of the high increase in ore and high increase on shipping costs. And also, there has been a tax rebate has been withdrawn from the China government for the local manufacturers as well, from what I've been hearing from all my suppliers. So that has a ripple effect in our nation as well, because a lot of manufacturers of steel that we buy from here are also buying the ore from China or Australia or other countries, you see. So in terms of business, yes, there are a lot of opportunities out there, but it's happening at a very slow rate, slow pace. Payments are extremely slow as well in a lot of areas. We are also facing this with a lot of our other sub-customers as well. We understand where they are coming from because we are also in the same situation, you see.
Yeah.
So because cash is king, you see. We want to keep as much as cash as possible because we don't know where we are heading towards. Today is 16th. The EMCO for Selangor should be lifted, right? But
no. Forget it.
Unfortunately, we don't know what's
happening. It's 30,000. It's 10,000, 11,000 cases. Anyway, we don't want to go talking to the COVID situation.
There's an expert
that knows this a lot more than both of us. But what we do know is this, Arvind. The price hike that you mentioned, the tariff hike increases, shipping cost increases, higher oil price increases. Is this like a trend? Is this like a cycle? Or is this going to be the new normal that people need to pay a little bit more for the goods that they manufacture?
Okay, based on my research on this, I've been doing a lot of research because a lot of clients, when they place an order, they came back and said, when they do a revalidation of their quotation, which we signed about 3 or 4 months ago, when they do a revalidation, we said, now the price has gone up to this certain percentage where we will reduce our profit margin and things like that. So when we do a research on this, we found that the steel price is the highest for the last 10 years, okay? It will be for the next at least 3 months. Reason being is because a lot of economy was closed for a long period of time, and now a lot of economies are being activated in a lot of countries in Europe and things like that. So there are more demand than supply. So when there's more demand than supply, you know what happens, right? Everything goes up. So previously when we order material from Japan, Korea, even in China, it takes us a month to reach here. But now it's taking close to 3 months because there's no materials available. You know, the manufacturing plant are full at full capacity.
You can't build it. What are you sending, right? You can't send.
Yeah, exactly. So everything is... if you want to buy something, on the go, which is readily available... then you need to pay premium, you see, because you can't buy your stock and keep it. So this is the situation. But I am quite confident that this will go down somewhere in September if things are going the way it should with other countries, because things are opening up, so they should be ready. So hopefully, let's see whether we can get back to our feet by September, at least.
Okay, let's bring this conversation to a close. And now we're tapping into your expertise, your years of experience, and try to predict what will happen. Do you think that wages in Malaysia will continue to be at where it is? Do you feel that there is a need for us to, think about, companies paying more, but at the same time reskilling, retooling workers? Where do you think this trajectory is going to take place?
We are talking about getting skilled workers at the moment. There was supposed to be a lot of available skilled workers. For the past 3 or 4 months, I've been recruiting people for engineering, for quality control, for health and safety. I'm building my team. I have not let anyone go out.
That's amazing. That's one of the reasons why I asked you to get on this show as well. It's very rare to get companies not letting go of staff.
In fact, we are still paying all our staff in full without deducting anything, you see. So we are committed in providing that. But again, the market that we are receiving, especially when we go to the website under the, Penjana, where the under the Pakeso, right, where we can get the foreign Malaysian workers hired. I put in about, 30 welders, and I did not get one. It's shocking because they are saying there's so many welders, qualified welders outside there, because I would gladly, hire our Malaysian than hiring foreigners, because the cost of getting foreigners is not cheap anymore. The pay scale is not as what it used to be, because today they are there and next day they are gone somewhere, and then 5 days
later... You can't blame them. They have no ties. Why should they stick around?
Exactly. Even though they have been with us for about 5 or 6 years, they are all under our permit and all that. But the moment somebody offers them 10 ringgit more, they are gone the next day, you see? So we tried our level best, and that's where we are getting into automation in a big scale. We invested in robotic arms for welding. We have invested a laser machine, a lathe machine, a huge machine to cut pipes, hollow sections, where it costs our time by half at least, So a lot of automation has came in. A lot of re-engineering has happened over the past 6 months. So a lot of ways that we can say is we are saving a lot more than we used to by inducing productivity. In fact, we are We are making sure, because we are only working with such resources at the moment, we cannot have more than 60% of resources working at all time. So how do you manage this efficiently? So that's how we have come up with a lot of mechanism and making sure that it happens and we are able to deliver our client's item without paying anything additional, without absorbing anything additional as well. So because these are difficult times.
Yeah, okay. That's one area I want to tap your, experience on. Another area is, of course, this country, quite literally. Where do you think it's going to shape up? Do we have a bright future ahead of us?
We do have a bright future, in fact, because if you look at the ease of doing business in Malaysia, there's no other places in the world you can do business as like how we do it here. We have the local support, we have the local authorities, we have also all the agencies who are helping us. Only the current pandemic issue is where we are having a lot of difficulties in doing businesses because the SOP changes on daily basis. So we are having a tough time, you know, because of doing businesses where suddenly, you know, the SOP changed last night and today, you know, when the authority comes in and said, how come you guys are not following this? You see, so it's like, you know, things are changing so fast, too fast for our liking, in fact, and we have no time to do this. So what we have done is we have created an ERT group to ensure that on a daily basis, before they go to bed, they are checking the SOPs, and when they come to work, they're checking the SOPs, whether they have any changes and so. But in terms of ease of doing business and in terms of what we are seeing happening, will happen in Malaysia over the next 6 months, it can be difficult, but there will be light at the end of the tunnel, I would say, because a lot of changes can happen and will happen.
All right. Thank you very much, Arvin. I like the optimism. We all need a little bit of optimism every now and then, more so now. But that was Arvin Menon, the Managing Director of VG Offshore Containers International Berhad, Senior Berhad. If you've missed any part of this show, just head on to Astro Awani. Look for Notepad there, look for VG Offshore, look for Arvin Menon. There's plenty of resources like this that can be found there. Also, you can watch these kind of shows on your mobile devices. Just download the Astro Awani app wherever you get the application. Arvin, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you for giving this opportunity to do it. Stay safe, everyone.
Stay safe.